The Utah Avalanche Center posts daily reports to inform and educate backcountry recreationists of the dangers and the preparedness needed to venture into the Wasatch. Utah Avalanche Center forecaster Drew Hardesty says over last weekend and continuing through this week, conditions are ripe for some avalanche activity.
October and into early November was intermittent snow, as we remember. It was roughly 50 inches of snow had fallen over that time and had just sat there dormant, what we call faceting, becoming quite weak and cohesionless. And we're just looking for that wallop of snow, which this weekend provided that at most areas across the range as it came in on a westerly to southwesterly flow, picked up roughly 12 to 18 inches combined with the strong winds that averaged really 30 to 35 miles an hour. And that was really everything we needed to set up that unstable snowpack.
Hardesty explains how avalanches can be remotely triggered.
The snowpack structure that we have with that foot and a half of snow that came in, sitting on that very weak snow, you have the ability to collapse that snowpack. It gives it audible whoomp as it collapses those deflor crystals underneath that. And so the tricky thing, the interesting thing here is that structure supports this phenomenon called remote triggering. That is, you don't have to be on the steep slope to trigger the avalanche. You could do it from the flats beneath the steep slope, adjacent to the slope, or even above. So these remote triggers were common in almost all of these avalanches.
He says only time and smaller amounts of snowfall during each storm will eventually make the persistent slabs more stable.
You know, we call these persistent slabs. They're persistent for a reason, and they may persist days, weeks, and even in some cases months, or they can be dormant for most of the winter. And then once you get into the spring cycle, once you get some melting and free water that percolates down to those interfaces, they come alive again. So it's a tough question to say, but periods of increased bits of snow, generally warmer temperatures, and just time will start to make these conditionally unstable layers less cranky. But if you threw on another 2 feet of snow with wind on there, they'll immediately rear their heads and we'll see additional avalanches.
The Utah Avalanche Center, through the U.S. Forest Service, employs 7 forecasters for Utah's mountains, from Logan in the north to the La Salles near Moab in the south. The center also has a separate fundraising arm that supports their operation, while the avalanche forecasters focus on their area of expertise, which Hardesty says is diverse and thorough.
Exactly that. We all bring different things to the table. A few of us have master's degrees in the sciences to bring experience weather forecasting. A few of us work in the Tetons or have worked and guided in Alaska and bring a lot of years in the mountains to the table. And so we all complement each other really well with different viewpoints and different experiences.
That's Drew Hardesty with the Utah Avalanche Center. KPCW features the avalanche report daily at 8:06 a.m. beginning on Saturday. You can read the advisory daily as well at utahavalanchecenter.org. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, KPCW News.